What's up, y'all? Phil Buck here, and I am back for another episode of AI Roundup. This is your weekly digest of AI-related stories. We're trying to keep you up to date with this rapidly advancing technology. It seems almost impossible the way things are changing so fast. Last week was crazy. We had GPT-4, Midjourney version 5 all coming out. I mean, everything changing so fast. I couldn't even get it onto the show because the stories were changing by the time I had recorded it. There was new stuff coming out. I think all I can do for now is we just got to focus on the here and now. So today, what are we going to be talking about? Well, first up, llamas, and then pawn shop language models. Yeah, I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. And AI sniffing dogs. That's right. Watch out next time you go to the airport. Don't want to be caught with any AI in your luggage. And before we wrap it up today, we're going to challenge Midjourney to generate us a Cerberus. Just trying to keep it on theme. Do you think it's up to the challenge? Spoiler alert, it's not. But stay tuned to the end of the show for our use case. I'm going to find out more about that. We're going to play around. It'll be fun. So with that said, let's jump into our first story. All right, first up, for my actual impact story, an article from Futurism by Noor Al-Sabai, Stanford scientists pretty much clone OpenAI's GPT for a measly $600. Have you heard of Alpaca AI? No? It's not a fuzzy animal that spits at you. It's a clone of OpenAI's GPT 3.5 language model that was created by Brainiacs at Stanford's Center for Research on Foundation Models. And get this, they made it for a mere $600. That's right, the cost of a couple fancy dinners. Okay, hold up. So I gotta be honest, OpenAI summarized the article for me up to that point. And I'm just wondering, where is GPT eating at for, what are you, $300 dinners? Whew! But anyway, they fine-tuned Meta's Llama 7B model using OpenAI's ChatGPT API, and voila, Alpaca was born. When the Stanford scientists evaluated Alpaca's performance against other models, they were quite surprised to find that it was just as good, if not slightly better than OpenAI's TextDaVinci 003. But Alpaca does have its flaws, like hallucination, toxicity, and stereotypes. But let's be real, who doesn't hallucinate a little after a long day of training a language model? While the big players in AI are making money moves, it's fascinating to see a cheap and easy model like Alpaca show up on the scene. Who knows? Maybe one day we'll all have our own little language models that we can train in our garages. Okay. So now let's put aside the GPT punditry and let's just talk about that. We've already seen a lot of folks training these LLMs locally and the results are pretty astounding. I've talked about this particular instance on a different show with some friends that there was a guy on YouTube that trained ChatGPT-3 against a bunch of posts from 4chan, and you can just look that up, GPT-4chan, it's ridiculous. That's a great example of what people are already doing on their own in their own computers. I mean, I think it took the guy like 2 weeks to train the model. I don't know how long it took the scientists at Stanford, but to say that it only cost them $600 to train this model versus millions or billions of dollars in electricity and computing time. And you know, a big part of this is that it's taking a lot of the human grunt work out of it, right? Like the original models had to be checked by humans to make sure that the results were accurate, and this is pretty groundbreaking that they're actually having a large language model train the large language model. Like, they found that they were able to feed it in a way that was reliable enough to get really good results. And I also read that it was predicted that in order to get the computing costs for training these LLMs down to the level that apparently they did was going to be like 8 years or something. But here we are, this is just months down the road and it's already happening. So, you know, I think I probably learned about the singularity when I was like 13 or something, and it was fascinating to me. And I really don't think anything that's happening with AI right now is approaching anything close to the singularity. But that being said, the rate of advancement with these things does feel exponential. I mean, I literally am having my mind blown every other day with the stories that are coming out. So, hey, Sound off in the Discord if this is fascinating to you, if you have been doing any training of large language models yourself, or even just fine-tuning. I know a lot of people are using GPT's API and fine-tuning stuff to serve their own purposes. Talked to some MSPs recently that are doing that specifically for this industry. So I'd love to hear more about it. Catch up with us in the Discord and sound off what you think and what you've been doing. And with that being said, let's zoom out a bit. Let's take a look at this week's big picture story. All right, so next up from The Verge by Zoe Schiffer and Casey Newton, Microsoft lays off team that taught employees how to make AI tools responsibly. Oof, Microsoft. In the past month, they've laid off their entire ethics and society team, leaving the company without a crew dedicated to ensuring that their AI principles are integrated into product design. Yikes. This move has left a huge gap in the holistic design of AI products at a time when Microsoft is charging full steam ahead to make AI tools available to everyone. But fear not, the company says it still maintains an Office of Responsible AI to create rules and principles for AI initiatives. However, former employees say the ethics and society team played a critical role in creating rules where there were none and making sure that Microsoft's responsible AI principles were reflected in their products. As one of my favorite philosophers, Gucci Mane, once said, "If a man does not have sauce, then he is lost." But the same man can get lost in the sauce. And I'm wondering how much of the sauce Microsoft might be getting lost in. But who knows, maybe these layoffs at Microsoft are just their way of helping to pay for this new position that has just been listed from OpenAI, a kill switch engineer, paying $300,000 to $500,000 per year. And about the role? Says, "Listen, we just need someone to stand by the servers all day and unplug them if this thing turns on." And in case you can't tell, that is definitely fake. And here to talk to me more about this and help unpack some of the ethical issues behind artificial intelligence is one of the founders of Ethical Go, Johan Daniel. Welcome, Johan. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Yep. It's a great day.
It's funny. We're on total opposite ends of the time. It's early morning for me and late night for you.
Yeah, it is. But it's nice that even if time separates us, we'll be working on this issue together, right?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, I love the way you put that. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how it led you to start Ethical Go?
So I've always been pretty interested in artificial intelligence. I started a vocational course 4 years ago, and I learned, you know, Python oriented to machine learning, and I learned a little bit about AI. And I'm hoping to start a professional course in a couple of months, but the landscape's, you know, changing really fast. So I'm not really sure if the curriculum's going to catch up with all these rapid developments. But until then, I'm just planning to, you know, contribute and learn through the internet. So in other ways, I'm also working with this Japanese company. I help out with the legal side and a little bit with the AI aspect, because, you know, like many companies, they're also trying to adapt to the new AI scenario we have right now. And, you know, with all this development, I've always felt that the ethical aspect of things have always been lagging behind. So EthicalGo was just a small part from my side so that, you know, I could urge the community to work on this issue together so that we can also try to help the ethical aspect to keep up with the developments that are going on in AI.
Nice. That's fantastic. And we need more of that for sure. A lot more. So Johan, when I first ran into you, it was on somebody's Discord for artificial art. I think it was Sebastian Kampf. And yeah, I think it's interesting because obviously we're both fans of the AI art community, but I haven't talked to a ton of people that are interested in the ethics of it. What brought my attention to you is you were trying to share a product you're working on called Snifusion, which you can load AI art into AI generated images, and it helps detect, well, you can load any image, I guess I should say, and it helps you detect if it was AI generated or not. You have a minimum viable product with it right now. What do you envision Snifusion being as you go beyond that?
Well, I hope that we can really differentiate AI generated and human generated content with a simple method like that. But in the long run, you know, if you think about it, diffusion models, they're essentially image denoisers. They take away the noise from an image until it looks like an image that we had in our mind or what we prompted it to be. But you know, as of now, we have these small noise remnants still left in the image, and that's what helps SnipFusion and many other AI image detectors to detect whether a certain image is AI generated. But in the long run, it's going to be hard, because even those final bits of noise are going to be removed, and then it's going to get really hard for us to detect whether something's human art or not. But until then, we really want to help out with this model. We are actually working on a large model with we're trying to train it on 200,000 images, and I found many like-minded people. We're all working together. So we also have many other AI image detectors, like one by Hive, and there's also many other engineers working on this field. So I've actually contacted a couple of them, and we're kind of like joining forces to make this better AI image detector, which is the Dalmatian model. But then in the long run, I feel like we have to urge these companies that generate AI-generated content to watermark their content using steganography or many other methods, so that we can have a 100% like way of finding out whether this particular piece of content is AI-generated.
Right. So you're looking at it as a more comprehensive initiative. It's not just that we have to have these detection tools. And you know, it would take the initiative of someone, right, to go take the picture and put it into SnipFusion, whereas maybe in the future we can start building stuff like that into some of our tools. Like if everyone's going to use ChatGPT with the multimodal, so you can put an image into it, maybe that's something that could be built into these AI tools that we're going to rely on. You know, I think that's hopefully how people are going to start thinking about this kind of stuff.
I really hope that things go that way, because especially in social networks, I hope they have like an inbuilt feature where we can tell whether a certain piece of media is AI generated or not. That's a very good idea.
You were talking about watermarking. Is DALL-E 2 a good example of how they always have a little color spot at the bottom?
Right.
You know, it's like
those five colors. Four squares, right?
Yeah.
Right. About that, of course, you can just crop it out. That's a
right.
big problem. But, but I do feel like there's also this, I read this paper recently. There was a method called radioactive data. So what they do is they link images to, like, when you're training models, they link it to like a fictional tag, and that generates a certain piece of output which might look random to us, but it is actually intentionally trained to identify whether, you know, a particular piece of content was from their model. So I feel like although that 4-pixel watermark looks like, you know, very placeholder watermark, I feel like OpenAI has a very viable watermarking system behind the scenes, because if you've tried to join the OpenAI Discord server, they have a captcha where you have to input your OTP in your DALL-E prompt, and then you got to link that DALL-E image to them. So I feel like they have something behind the scenes, but we don't have access to it.
Well, that's good to hear. I didn't know that. I mean, but that's kind of what we got to hope for, or these things are going to get totally out of hand. Just a little side note, is there any reason for all the dog puns on SnipFusion and Pomeranian and Dalmatian?
Right. I'm going to be honest, the names of those models, they're better than the models itself. The models are not that great, but I'm pretty proud of the names. So the meaning behind the names, like you were saying, diffusion means, you know, the process behind how these images are generated, and SnipFusion, well, you know, so you're sniffing it out, right?
It's great. Well, let's zoom out a little bit, and we've already had some great conversations behind the scene about all this, and I'm just curious, like, what is your take on the current state that artificial intelligence technology, you know, is taking right now?
This week was fast, right? Like, so many things happened. Like, you know, I just went to sleep one day, like, oh, yeah, tomorrow's going to be a normal day. Then I wake up, I see GPT-4. A few hours later, you have Midjourney version 5, and it just keeps coming. Like, all these, so many different types of models. Like, you have like Stable Diffusion releasing new iterations, and Gen 2, and all these big companies, they're already applying these big models into their business strategies. Like Khan Academy, they've released KhanMigo. You have Duolingo, Microsoft. It just doesn't stop. It's really amazing how all these companies have already caught on to the trends already, and it's developing so fast. Like I said before, we just can't catch up with it, even though we have an idea about what it is.
Yeah, it's very difficult because, you know, doing this show, obviously I do a lot of research and reading articles, and I try to get ahead of the game where I would pick articles the week before. I can't do that because by the time the day comes to record the show, it's all old news, you know?
Right, it is like you read something today on like in your newsletter, and then like a few hours later, it's outdated already because you have like so much information. It's an overload.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I really appreciate that there's people out there taking this perspective about the advancement of the AI technology and, you know, working proactively to try to help just kind of keep things in check and thinking about it in a way that, you know, that I think we will need to if things keep moving this fast. Maybe we need to hit up Microsoft, see if we can get Ethical Go over there since their team is gone now. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you could use another team.
Yeah. I know that you've got a lot of work that you're still trying to do with Snifusion and other initiatives as well. If people want to help with the work with Snifusion and other things, you know, how can they help out?
We need all the help that we can get because things are moving so fast and, you know, the ethical implications, they're still lagging behind. So we need everyone to collectively push onto this effort to make AI more ethical. And you can really help out in EthicalGo. We have many initiatives. Please do check our website out. And one method is we have a movement called APART. So that's a movement to differentiate, like, you know, to press these companies that make AI generated content to have a very good system to differentiate whether, you know, the content they generate. You know, we need to identify it because we're the stakeholders in the end, and we need a method to identify whether, you know, the content that we're receiving is real or not. So if you can, we'd be really grateful if you could get on social networks and urge these companies to release services where we can detect whether, you know, we detect and backtrack the content they generate. And we have many other, if you're an artist, we have another initiative called Exprima, where we're creating a database full of verified human artists. So you can share your work and we can add your name into that list. And you can always assure your viewers and people who enjoy your artwork that your artwork is obviously human generated and not Stable Diffusion running in the background, right?
I gotta say again, thanks so much for being on the show. I know I have some people in the audience that have prodded me about these issues even last night when I was sharing some stuff about using Siri with ChatGPT. One of the friends on the thread was saying, you know, can Siri tell me if something is AI generated or not? And I'm like, you're gonna love tomorrow's show. Just wait. So I encourage everybody, please go check out ethicalgo.com. If you want to chip in, there's a ton of initiatives on the site where you can. Johan, thanks again so much for being here. A great, great conversation.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much, Phil.
All right, that was a fantastic conversation with Johan. I want to just say thank you so much for being on the show. Super excited about what Ethical Go is doing because, yeah, as we said in the interview, I'm a pretty big fan of the AIR community and what's going on there, but I do think we always need to take a step back and examine things and make sure that it's progressing, you know, in a way that's for the good of society. And the conversations surrounding that stuff tend to get pretty heated without nuance. But Johan, thank you for bringing nuance to the table here. I like to discuss things with all the shades of gray in the mix. And that being said, having a particularly animal-themed episode, I thought it would be great to try to have some AI art generated of a Cerberus. But I learned very quickly last night as I started trying to generate some of these that while Midjourney version 5 has come out and it's much better at making hands, it doesn't seem like it's really quite ready to generate a three-headed dog. I spent a while on both Stable Diffusion and Midjourney trying very hard to get a dog with three heads, meaning a one body and three heads. I tried a lot of different prompts. I even tapped in ChatGPT at one point and I said, ChatGPT, can you please give me a prompt that would generate a three-headed dog? I got a very long prompt, some very good descriptors in there, fed it into Stable Diffusion. Fed it into Midjourney, and in almost every case, instead of a three-headed dog, I got three dogs, or four dogs, or maybe just three heads of dogs. But yeah, really could never ever get a Cerberus in the mix. Which I gotta say, shout out to Juan Marcos Gomez for designing the graphics for this week. Don't worry, graphic designers, you're not out of a job yet. Midjourney and Stable Diffusion still have a long way to go. If you guys are generating AI art with Stable Diffusion or Midjourney or DALL-E, I'd love to see your attempts to make a Cerberus. So please hop into the MMN Discord. There's a channel for AI Roundup, and we share a ton of fun stuff like the images that we're generating. So share your either successful or really terrible results of trying to generate a Cerberus. And I will also share a few more of mine that I haven't already shown you on the show. Okay, well, before we sign off for today, I'd love to point you to some other shows that we'll be releasing on the MSP Media Network soon. In case you missed it, The Tech Bar Podcast Episode 54 with Emilio Garcia of Tier 2 Technologies. On March 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Partner First, Connecting the Dots, a Holistic Approach to Resolving Network and SaaS Issues. And of course, every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Ray Rossini.
And I'm Tony Francisco, and we're the hosts of MSP Dispatch.
Every Tuesday and Friday, we'll bring you the news, community events, and discussions that are important to MSPs today. Whenever possible, we'll also include industry experts to provide their insight, and all within 30 minutes.
Available on YouTube, Pocket Casts, Spotify, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher in audio or video form. We're everywhere you want us to be.
We hope to see you next time on MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel.
And that's it for our AI Roundup today. Be sure to join the MSP Media Network Discord. The link is in the show notes for the listeners, but everyone else, there's a little QR code right there on the screen. Make sure you follow us everywhere on social media at MSP Media TV. If you have any questions, you can email us news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-NETWORK. Until next time, I'm Phil Buck, and this has been your March 22nd edition of AI Roundup.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.